Let's start by gently tapping the palm of your left hand with the fingers of your right hand. Do this as many times as you need to get a sense of that part of your body. And then stop tapping and take the time to notice the sensation in the palm of your hand. What do you feel? Do you feel tingly? Do you feel a vibration? Do you feel numb, hot, or cold? Just notice whatever you feel, and maybe even look at your hand and say something like, "This is my hand. My hand belongs to me. My hand is a part of me." You can use any words that seem right to help you get the idea of ownership. Ownership of each part of yourself as belonging to a greater whole. Okay, now turn your hand over and begin tapping the back of your hand. Again, notice the sensation on the back of your hand. Follow it for a moment, noticing how it changes. Again, say something like, "This is the back of my hand. I feel the back of my hand. The back of my hand belongs to me." And continue leading yourself through every part of your body, lower and upper arms, feet, calves, thighs, abdomen, upper torso, buttocks, back, neck, face, and head. And again, remember to do this gently with awareness. It's not just the tapping, it's the tapping and the feeling. You may be tapping your arms, say the outer part of your arms, and saying, "These are my arms. I can feel my arms. I feel tingly in my arm. My arm belongs to me." Then tapping the shoulder. "This is my shoulder. I can feel my shoulder. My shoulder and my arm are connected. My shoulder and my arm are part of me." And then you can take some time to feel the connection between your shoulders, arms, and hands. Continue noticing anywhere that you feel some sense of connection. You can gently touch and pat the top of your scalp, your forehead, your chest, your stomach, your legs, pelvis, your knees and feet. And each time, say something like what I had suggested to you. But of course, your words are going to be much better than my words, most likely. This skin boundary exercise might take about half an hour. But I invite you to take as much time with this exercise, or as little, as feels right for you each time that you practice. What's important is that you develop an ability to pace yourself and recognize your own window of tolerance and assimilation, gently increasing your comfort zone over time. Now, I'm going to give you another version of working with your skin boundary. I call this the shower exercise. If you choose to try this one, you'll need to purchase an inexpensive pulsing shower head if you don't already have one. Adjust the shower head to a comfortable temperature and a comfortable level of intensity. Put your hand up to the shower. Feel the pulsing on your hand and again say something like, "This is the palm of my hand. I feel the palm of my hand. It belongs to me. It's part of my body." And then turn the back of your hand to it and again repeat the exercise. And do that with as many parts of your body as you want to do at that time. In other words, exactly the same as the previous exercise, but using the pulsing water for contact instead of your opposite hand. Now that you've gotten some sense of the skin boundary and the container it provides for you, in other words, that it allows you to be able to feel more alive and to hold more of your feelings of aliveness or any other feelings that you might be feeling, I'm going to suggest that you learn about an even more solid container, the deeper boundary, that of your muscles. So take your right hand and put it on the side of your left upper arm. Now squeeze the muscles gently, but firmly, so that you can really feel the density of the muscles and the feeling of your muscles, their tension or their relaxation or their sense of collapse. Again, say something like, "This is my muscle. This is part of me. This is a deeper container for my feelings and my sensations." Next, you might move your awareness to your shoulders, squeezing them a few times, feeling the tension build as you squeeze and release. And again, find your own rhythm of squeezing each muscle and letting it go. The idea is to really maximize your sensing of those muscles. You are actually feeling into those muscles. When you first try this exercise, you may need to apply a little bit more pressure to get the feeling. But the idea is to use just enough pressure to get a sense of your muscle. So as you feel and squeeze those parts of your body, you are beginning to actually feel the container and the boundary of your feelings. This, again, is very important because, as you probably already know, one of the places where people who are traumatized and abused have a lot of issues is in making and sustaining boundaries. Physical boundaries, emotional boundaries, energetic boundaries, interpersonal boundaries. And by starting with the body, this will expand out into those different strata of boundaries. Remember to take as much time as you need to go over each part of your body in order to reacquaint yourself with it and how it's connected with every other part in your whole being. Here's another exercise that will help you to extend what you've already learned and experienced with your body boundaries out into the realm of interpersonal boundaries. Sit in a comfortable place, probably on a carpet, and have a ball of yarn with you. Now, first, as you're sitting there, really feel where your boundaries project out to. Feel that from your body. And then take the string, lay the string down around your whole body, from the very front all the way around to the side, all the way to the back, around your backside, the other side, and back in the front, so that you have a continuous imagined boundary of the yarn. Now, when you're in that position, I want you just to practice saying something like, "This is my personal boundary. You cannot come into this boundary unless I ask you to come into this boundary." You can also do this exercise with a friend or a family member, someone that you trust, and imagine saying it to them. And particularly if you're in a relationship where you're having some problems with boundaries, this is a really nice way actually for both people to get a sense of what their boundaries are and when not they're allowed to come into your boundary or you come into theirs. As we did with the skin tapping exercise, it may be of benefit by saying to yourself the affirmations that we have gone over for each part of your body. Make your statement slowly and self-compassionately as you feel each muscle and how it's connected to the whole of your body. You might even find it helpful to mention its function as you squeeze it. For example, you might say, "This is my calf muscle. It helps me to stand my ground or to move with more bounce or more quickly." These are my muscles of the sides of my arms. They help me make personal boundaries. In other words, feels what happens as you move your elbows out. You know, the expression elbow room. These are muscles that actually help you specifically to make interpersonal boundaries. Muscle squeezing is something that can be practiced inconspicuously. For example, when you're standing in line at the checkout counter or on a line at the bank. And for example, you can hold your arms and squeeze the outside borders of them with your hands. This is something that you can do just to remind yourself over and over that you have a body, and that body has boundaries, and that body contains your sensations and feelings. Although a considerable amount of change may be experienced doing these exercises just one time, it's more likely that you'll get the most benefit by repeating them, progressing with more awareness and more comfort over time. It will also help to do them sometimes in conjunction with another exercise in the learning program. In doing these exercises and building a sense of your body as your container, you'll find a greater capacity to befriend some of the uncomfortable sensations and feelings that may have previously been disconnected or dissociated from your experience. Trauma disconnects people from their bodies. We've already been working with that. In love, we're swept off our feet. In trauma, our legs are pulled out from under us. Grounding and centering, as you shall see, reconnects you directly with the resources naturally available in your own body. It's important to reestablish a relationship to both the ground and to your body's center of gravity, the place where action and feeling originate. These are two other functions that are compromised in trauma. In trauma, people lose their ground. So important part in healing trauma is learning to reestablish ground. And when you ground and center yourself before each of these exercises, it will help you to create a feeling of safety, a sense that you cannot so easily be knocked off balance, knocked off center by your emotions, sensations, or thoughts, or things that other people say or do to you. Stand and feel your feet on the ground. Notice the springiness or stiffness that's in your legs. Notice if your knee is locked or if there's some flexibility in the knee. Feel the way your feet contact the ground, almost like suction cups or the way a lizard climbs the wall. Firmly planted, sway slowly from side to side from the ankles. So just shifting your weight so that you just move a little bit, you just sway a little bit from side to side. And when you get your feeling of that and how that little movement of swaying actually helps you to feel more grounding in your feet, then try gently to sway forward, and a little bit backwards. And both of these will help you to locate your center of gravity. And generally that's in the upper pelvic area or the lower area of your abdomen. As a matter of fact, as you do this, place your hands on your lower belly and sense your center of gravity. It may be helpful to continue swaying gently while you do this. And if you think that you may have it and then it goes away, then again, just sway a little bit side to side, front to back, and see again where you can find your center of gravity, your physical center of gravity. I want to say something just a little bit about how animals can help us to ground. Animals are instinctively grounded. I mean, just watch a dog and cat. I mean, they're grounders. They're natural grounders. So are horses and other animals. You can use them to show you this connection to the earth. As you just see them and they walk around and they lay down and they get up. And then you can place your hand on the animal in a way that's comfortable to both of you. or if it's an animal that you really know, like a dog, you may want to lay your head on its chest, if that feels right. And you can see the figure in the booklet where one woman is doing exactly that. Notice the calmness in the animal. Listen to its heartbeat and feel its breathing. Feel yourself settling into their rhythm and their groundedness. Everybody has resources. It can be also said that everybody has resources. So what are these resources and where do they come from? Well, resources can be anything or anyone that support and nurture a sense of physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual well-being. They can be obvious or hidden. They can be active or forgotten. They can be external, internal, or both. Such examples of external resources might be nature, friends, family, animals, a spiritual practice, athletics, dance, movement, tai chi, martial arts, music, and other expressive arts. Examples of internal resources might be strength, agility, intelligence, inherent talents, instinctual wisdom, and resilience of our nervous system. When an external resource, such as listening to a favorite concerto, changes your internal vibration, becomes part of your felt experience to the point that simply recalling it can change your mood, then it's become an internal resource. When a person has been traumatized, instinctual resources for successful protection and self-defense have been overwhelmed. So, because of that, resources can be lost or forgotten after even one event. And if trauma began during the formative years of infancy and early childhood, few resources may have been available from the beginning. However, even kids who are the most abused and traumatized and neglected find some resource, a tree, an animal, an angel, some kind of spiritual sense. I mean, it's amazing what resources kids find to get through these bad experiences. During the resource-building exercises, you will begin to recover your body's innate resources and perhaps even discover some new ones. If you practice the containment, grounding, centering, and boundary audio exercises that preceded these exercises, you've already started to build and strengthen your internal resources. To continue with this exercise, you'll need to have a piece of paper, or you can use a page from a journal if you have one, and divide the page in half vertically so that you have two columns. Underneath one column, the one on the left, begin a list of your external resources. Under the other column, list your internal resources. When you first begin, you may find that these resources are sparse. Over time, you can continue to add, and your list, of course, will grow. If you find that you're lacking resources you wish you had, such as people and physical exercise, you might decide to join a Tai Chi class or find a walking buddy. These will help you move out of isolation and into both more activity and connectedness. As we move into the second group of exercises on tracking, you will discover how to more fully embody the resources from your lists, and that will bring you, in turn, more comfort and safety, greater resilience, and stability. Now, if you have difficulty beginning your list, take some time to recall what you think maybe got you through some of your trauma. How did you cope then? What helped you the most to get to the place where you are right now? to have survived it and to be able to have gone on with life? What inner strength did you bring to bear in your struggle? If you suffered early abuse, who or what helped you to survive, to get through these times of childhood trauma? Take a few moments to imagine or feel possible resources, even if they seem distant, vague, or weak. Little by little, you will notice emergent resources that had been lost, or find new ones, and strengthen those which are weak. As we move further into this program, you will soon discover that the best resource of all is the ability of your body's sensations to shift from discomfort to comfort, from constriction to openness, from fear to compassion. It is this ability to move, or the term I coined, pendulate, out of states of shutdown, anxiety, anger, helplessness, or estrangement into their opposites, vitality, safety, joy, initiative, and connection. Those are the best resources of all and the basis of true self-esteem. According to Eugene Genlin, the author of the seminal book Focusing, and he's the one who really coined the term the felt sense, a felt sense is not a mental experience, but a physical one. Physical. A bodily awareness of a situation or person or event. An internal aura that encompasses everything you feel and know about the given subject at a given time. The felt sense is a difficult concept to define with words, as language is a linear process, and the felt sense of our body is very much of a nonlinear experience. In many ways, the felt sense is like a stream moving through an ever-changing landscape. It alters its character in resonance with its surroundings. When the land is rugged and steep, the stream moves with vigor and energy, swirling and bubbling as it crashes over rocks and debris. Out on the plains, the stream meanders so slowly that one might wonder whether it is moving at all. Rains and spring thaw can rapidly increase its volume, possibly even flooding nearby land. In the same way, once the setting has been interpreted and defined by the felt sense, we will blend into whatever conditions we find ourselves. This amazing sense encompasses both the content and the climate of our internal and external environments. Like a stream, it shapes itself to those environments. It also helps to create changes in those environments. This exercise is about finding islands of safety through the felt sense. Because the language of sensation is alien to most of us, you might want to look over and read the examples of different kinds of sensations that are listed in the box in your book. You probably have noticed a variety of sensations already when you did the tapping and the squeezing of your muscles. Now, the way that you distinguish a sensation from an emotion and from a thought is, and this is very important for resolving difficult emotional states, is by being able to locate it in your body and experience it in a direct physical way. For example, if you're experiencing anxiety, the question to ask yourself is, when I feel anxious, how do I know that I'm feeling anxious? In other words, where in your body do you feel it? And exactly what is the physical sensation? Is it tightness? Is it constriction? Is it a knot? Or is it a fluttery feeling? Is your heart palpitating? Is it like butterflies in your stomach? You see, all these sensations might be called anxiety, but when you actually contact the physical sensation, then you can begin to change the experience of the anxiety. On the other hand, if you are feeling good, then ask yourself the following same line of inquiry. And when I feel good. How do I know that I'm feeling good? And you might answer, well, I just feel good. But in order to move from a vague sense experience to tracking specific bodily sensations in a focused way, the next step is to check inside your body and see where the feeling of goodness comes from. In doing this, you might just discover that you feel a kind of warmth in your stomach and openness in your chest and tingling and vibration in your hands. And then, boom, you've got one of these wonderful resources that we talked about in the last exercise. The trick in finding a sensation is that it has to have a locus in the body. It has a size, it has frequently a shape, and it has specific physical qualities like tightness or spaciousness, like constriction or heat or cold, vibration, tingling, and so forth. Let's begin by doing the exercise that will help you to use sensations to bring you some sense of safety, because when we become traumatized, it doesn't feel safe. It doesn't feel safe outside in the world. It doesn't feel safe in our bodies. Everything feels like a dangerous place. When we go inside into our bodies, we often immediately want to jump out because we don't have a place in there that feels safe. So in this exercise, I think that you'll find that you'll be able to begin to find in your body this place of safety, possibly right away, perhaps more slowly. Sometimes it will be really easy. Other times it won't be so easy. It'll be a struggle. To find out how we can begin to find these places, these regions, these spaces, these islands of relative safety and relative ease in our bodies, remember that if you're feeling really tight and constrictive everywhere in the body, there still is going to be a part in your body where your feeling is less constricted, less tight, and so forth. So find a comfortable place, your favorite chair, maybe a place with some pillows on the floor where you can kind of nestle up. Wherever you feel the most comfortable, and I prefer that you start by sitting rather than laying down, because sometimes if you lay down, the sensations and feelings can come up more quickly and thus be more difficult. And of course, please, never doing these exercises when you're driving a car or engaged in some kind of activity like that. This exercise is designed also to help you discover your own pacing and inner rhythms, and to trust in your own innate capacity to regulate and to heal. Slow down or stop if the sensations begin to get too intense, and remember that your tolerance will build gradually as you continue with these kinds of exercises. I ask you to begin by bringing something into your space, the place where you're going to be sitting for this meditation. Bring something that brings you a sense of comfort, something that's special to you. It could be a stone, a crystal, a flower, a pet, a favorite picture or a photograph. It could be a trusted friend that you just want to sit there and just be quiet with you. Just anything that brings you a sense of nurture and of support. At the same time, please feel the support of the back of the chair upon your back. And feel that physically. Feel that now. Really get in there and feel the support that the back gives you. And then also how the bottom of your chair supports your bottom. How you can allow your weight to be given into the chair or into the floor or into a pillow. As you notice how that feels physically, then you may be aware of the sensation of your clothing on your skin. And you may also be aware of some of the muscles underneath your skin, some of the same muscles that you have familiarized yourself with in the earlier exercise. So again, your eyes are still open. You're sitting in the room, and you're feeling as comfortable as you're feeling right now. You may want to take off your shoes. That may make you feel more comfortable. And you can also feel your feet on the ground, on the earth below, even if it's just a carpet. But remember, underneath the carpet, there's a wooden floor. The wooden floor is connected to the foundation of the house. The foundation of the house is connected firmly to the earth. So feeling the support your body is offered from the chair, from the earth, and then gaze at your object of safety. And slowly go back and forth between your body and what you see with your eyes. So if you have a certain stone in front of you, look at the stone and your bodily experience is in the background. But then shift your awareness so the image of the stone in front of you recedes and you become more aware of your bodily sensations. You may also ask yourself questions like, does this rock make me feel more solid or more centered or more grounded? Where in your body do you feel that sense? And what is the physical sensation that tells you that that's the way you feel? Shift back and forth at your own rhythm between the object and the sensation in your body. Now allow your focus to shift to an inner sense of where the comfort is experienced in your body. And really take some time now to explore the nuances, the subtleties of these sensations. For example, if you're looking at a color that you liked, or maybe you brought in a painting or a flower, whatever delights you, notice again how that translates in your internal world and let you know that delight is more than just a pleasant thought. Where does it all begin? Perhaps as tense muscles begin to let go, or maybe as a sense of spaciousness around your heart or warmth in your belly. Perhaps you were feeling anxious initially, and this feeling has changed in some small way. But again, remember, anxious feels like what? What's the sensation, the physical bodily sensation, and then follow the changes. Be patient. Be kind to yourself. It might not feel like much is happening at first, or it might feel like too much is happening. You can adjust your experience to fit your needs by shifting focus between your sensations that may be uncomfortable and the comfortable object or image that you chose as a resource. You're in control. And remember, only you know what is too much or what is too little. I'm having you do this exercise for a few reasons. First, it's a way for you to begin to be aware in your body of the sensations that occurred during different states of feeling. Secondly, it starts to get you acquainted with the different kinds of sensations and feelings that come up in situations of conflict, expectancy, frustration, and surprise. In some ways, the experience of surprise is not all that different from the experience of fear. That is to say, in both cases, our nervous systems are activated. In the case of a good surprise, something gets stored in the body, something that makes you feel better about who you are and how you feel about yourself. In trauma, the sensations get stuck in one place. So through contact with body sensations, we can begin to move out of this fixity, which is trauma, and back into flow, a fluid experience of ourselves again. And this transformation is ultimately what frees us from the binds of trauma. I'm going to now guide you through a series of images, a series of pictures, and your job is to become aware of the sensations, the feelings, any images or thoughts that occur inside of you as I lead you through the exercise. Once again, find yourself a comfortable place to sit, a chair or some cushions, whichever is most relaxing and most comfortable for you. And again, notice how the chair or the pillow supports your body, and just feel how much you can settle into the chair or the pillow. Notice your breathing and overall sensations in your body. Notice any feelings and what's going on in your mind. Okay. Imagine that today is your birthday, and even though this should be a special day for you, you're sitting at home feeling lonely. You don't want to be alone. So you decide at least to go to the movies. You start getting ready, and then you have a dreadful sinking feeling as you reach for your wallet and realize that it's missing. Take time to notice the following. What emotions, sensations, images, and thoughts are you having at this moment in your body and in your mind? Just take some time to notice. When and if you felt dread, where in your body did you feel it? What does it feel like? Common places for sensations like dread could be in the solar plexus, in the chest, or in the throat. Did you feel a tightening or a sinking sensation? Or perhaps a queasiness, like butterflies? Did you notice any temperature change in your hands? Do they feel sweaty or cold? Is there any place you feel steady or wobbly? And also notice how these sensations change with time as you attend to them. Does the intensity increase or decrease? Does it tighten or does it loosen? All right, so getting back to the scenario. So you have the thought, maybe I put my wallet down in the other room. So now imagine that you go in and look there and you check out other places that you might have put it. You can't find it and you begin to get a little frantic. Now again, focus your attention now inward and notice your bodily sensations, your feelings, pictures, and thoughts. All right, so now you slow down a little bit and your thoughts get a little bit more clear. And you start methodically to hunt for where you might have put your wallet. Is it in the drawer? When I came in, maybe I put it on the table, and then maybe I went to the bathroom. Oh, okay. Well, it could be in the bathroom. However, as you are looking around, you're interrupted by the ring of the telephone. You pick up the receiver, and it's a friend of yours who tells you that you left your wallet at her house. Oh, you take a sigh of relief. Feel that. Feel that in your body. And then notice how you smile at your previous state of frantic mind. Your friend tells you, though, that she's leaving shortly, but she'll wait if you come right away. You walk briskly to her house. Now feel that in your legs. Feel in your body what it's like to walk briskly towards her house, knowing that she has your wallet and you need your wallet to do what you want it to. You knock on the door, but there's no answer. You knock a second time. Ha, still no answer. You think, I must have missed her, and you begin to feel a little irritated. I mean, she said that you would wait for you if you came over right away. So where do you feel that sensation of irritability? What does it feel like? What thoughts are going on in your mind? Take your time and notice the range of the sensations as you did before, and notice how you experience the irritability in your body and in your mind. Now, from the back of the house, you hear your friend's muffled voice call out. She's telling you to come in. Oh, I guess you didn't hear me at the door. You walk down the hall, and the hallway is really dark. You slowly find your way in the dark. Now notice how it feels to fumble down the hall, how your body feels as you're moving through the darkness. It's really dark, and you call again to your friend, but you're interrupted by a chorus of voices yelling, "Of course." What are you feeling in your body and mind as you realize this is a surprise party for you, and they took your wallet to just lead you here, that that's what your friends did for you? Feel it in your body. Feel it in your belly, in your heart, in your hands. And again, notice what thoughts or pictures are in your mind. Generally, focusing inward and becoming curious about one's inner sensations and feelings allows for a subtle shift towards relaxation and towards a sense of openness. When we first go into our bodies, however, we may get a startle or a surprise, as you did in the last exercise, and we may actually feel more tense. However, we will find that there is a natural rhythm between these bad, quote, bad feelings and good feelings, really rather between contraction and expansion, that there's always a rhythm, and so if we feel this rhythm, no matter what we're feeling, we know that we're not going to get stuck with it, that it's going to change towards another feeling and towards a sense of overall flow and coherence. We call this going back and forth between feelings of expansion and contraction, contraction and expansion, pendulation. So if we have feelings of dread, rage, fear, if we're able to befriend these internal sensations and then begin to pendulate with them, these opposite polarities of contraction and expansion begin to move us along. Once people learn to do this, seemingly infinite emotional pain begins to feel manageable and finite. This allows attention to shift from dread and helplessness to curiosity and exploration. The task is learning to observe what is going on, to observe the rhythms of expansion and contraction, and to not be carried away by overstimulation or losing interest out of boredom. In the following exercise, I ask you not to try to interpret, analyze, or explain what is happening, just to experience and note it. It's unnecessary to dredge up memories, emotions, insights, or anything else for that matter. If they come, that's fine. But it's more important to observe them without interpretation or emotional attachment. Look at them, then let them go. Take it as it comes is the best way of learning this language of the inner felt sense. It's like sitting on the banks of a stream, watching the water flow by. And when you hear my words, don't even try to understand or certainly to interpret them. Just to let the words go in and then to notice what your experience is. Okay? I want you to think of a time today when you felt the most like yourself or the most the way you would want yourself to feel or to be. Perhaps it was a time when you felt some pleasure or enjoyment. Maybe it was a time when you felt less anxious or depressed. Whatever it was, I want you just to think of that time when you felt the most like yourself or the least anxious or in discomfort. All right. Now, if it's an image, I want you to look at the image. If it's a thought, just to rethink the thought of that time. And if you can see that as a picture, I want you then to notice what your internal sensations are, what's going on in your body. And you may want to shift back and forth a few times between that picture, that image of when you felt the best or the most like yourself, and the inner sensations. So just take all the time you need to do that. All right. Now, I want you to think of another time, a different time, in the last few days when you felt most like yourself, most the way you would want yourself to feel or to be, a time when you felt most whole, most in yourself, when you felt some particular pleasure or enjoyment. And again, I want you just to hold that image in your mind's eye and shift back and forth between the picture and whatever your internal body sensations are. All right. Now, guess what? I want you to think of a time, a different time in the last week or two or three, when you felt the most like yourself, the most centered, the most grounded, the most the way you would want yourself to feel, when you felt particularly good, or a time when you felt whole and in connection with yourself and others, just to think about that time, to hold it in your mind's eye, and then to shift back and forth between the picture and whatever bodily sensations that picture is associated with. I want to talk first a little bit about healthy aggression. Aggression is the innate resource in nature that protects us when we're threatened. But it's also the very force that mobilizes us to action and propels us towards our desires and goals in life. When people have been traumatized, as you've already learned, they get stuck in paralysis in the immobility reaction. Because of this, the healthy aggression they need to carry out their lives effectively is suppressed. Now, nature has designed us, like most other animals, to access aggression when we begin to emerge from immobility. In other words, when we begin to thaw and come out of the frozen trauma state, then we will access often very strong aggressive impulses. This only makes sense because if the predator is still in the area, in other words, in the immobility reaction, we're simulating death so that we maybe are not attacked. But if the predator is still there, the impulse and the action to counterattack may be all that we have to defend our lives. Because if we come out of immobility and the predator notices we're not really dead, well, he's probably not going to give us a second chance. So traumatized people generally have become fearful of their own aggression. Hence, when they begin to emerge from the immobility response with its inherent aggression, they suppress this life-saving aggressive response. This suppression has the consequence of throwing us back into the paralysis. Thus, with our aggression aborted, we remain fearful of re-engaging in life. And you've already gotten the idea of how to pendulate when you have a difficult emotion or sensation. In the next exercise, you'll be guided to do some things physically with a partner so that you can get the sense of healthy aggression. If at any time you feel stuck, just say to the person, okay, just hold it, and then begin to pendulate with the different sensations and feelings that you have. And again, take all the time you need to do this. The idea in the exercise is not to get it over with, but to explore it and to learn as much and to gain as much as is possible. In order to get the directions for doing this exercise, please refer to Exercise 7, Working with the Flight Response, in the written portion of this integrated book CD. Whenever we're threatened, two of the options we have to survive that threat are either to fight, the previous exercise, or to flee. Now, if this natural escape is blocked, then we have the experience of anxiety. The anxiety really is a symptom of the blocking of our natural escape response. So, referring again to the written part of the integrated book CD, to Exercise 8, Working with the Flight Response, you'll be guided on how to recover some of this innate response ability, this ability to respond with natural escape versus anxiety. Okay, sit in a comfortable chair with a sturdy foam pillow under your feet. And begin by grounding yourself, getting the sense of how your feet are contacting that pillow or that mat. Now, close your eyes for a moment and imagine that you're walking in the jungle and that all of a sudden you hear a loud rustling of the bushes and right before you, you see a fierce baboon. The baboon starts to chase you. Feel the activation first from seeing the baboon, then feel the strength in your legs as you make running movements on the pillow. Remain mindful of your legs and body as you do this. And then run until you've reached a safe place on top of a large rock formation. You have escaped. The baboon loses interest and wanders away. Now sit on the warm rock and allow yourself to settle. Notice your breathing and heartbeat. If you begin to shake and tremble, just allow that to happen. When we've been overwhelmed or humiliated, our bodies tend to collapse. Our shoulders go forward, our eyes avert downwards, and we collapse around the area of our diaphragm into our abdomen. Now, I want you to just feel in your body what it feels like to have that sense of collapse. And if you want, you can think of a time when you felt defeated or shamed in some way. And feel how your body collapses. Now, rather than fight the collapse, what I want you to do is allow your body, just a little bit at a time, to fall further into the collapse, staying mindful all the time. So begin by thinking of a time when you felt defeated or shamed or humiliated, and then just let that image go off to the side and feel your body's response. Notice how your shoulders collapse, how you kind of fall down and forward into your belly, and get the sense of your eyes looking towards the ground, away from anybody's eyes who might be looking at you. And then instead of fighting this, just continue to slowly collapse. And then when you reach what appears to be or feels to be like an endpoint, very slowly, vertebra by vertebra, begin to come back towards a vertical position, towards an upright position. So just begin to put the second vertebra back on top of the first vertebra, the third on top of the second, the fourth on top of the third. So your spine gradually comes back into a vertical position, and then up into your middle back, and then all the way into your neck until there's a vertical alignment where all of your vertebra are stacked one on top of each other. And in addition, imagine that there's an invisible string on the top of your head that just pulls you upwards towards the sky and allows your whole vertebral column to elongate and extend upwards. And then feel your chest and notice if there's a feeling of openness or expansion, maybe even something that you identify with pride. Yes, so that's the idea, not to fight the collapse, but to allow it to move through to its own completion. Uncoupling fear from the immobility response. This is something that you've already begun to do, because what happens is that the immobility response in nature is meant to be time limited. The animal, when it's threatened and perceives that it's unable to escape, becomes immobile. And then when the predator has left, the prey animal just gradually or sometimes quickly comes out of this immobility response, shakes the energy off, and goes about its day. Whereas we have become frightened by our immobility response, some because of the aggression, which we've previously explored, and also because it feels somewhat like death, because that's its biological function. So when you feel sometimes during the day that you feel paralyzed or stuck or immobile, the trick here is to just notice the physical sensation, to focus on the physical sensation, and not to get caught in your mind with the catastrophic thinking that usually goes along with the immobility response, and simply to feel it as a physical sensation of immobility. And you'll notice in a relatively short period of clock time that the freezing, that the immobility lessens, and you'll start feeling the energy that's liberated as you come back into life. When you've done all of these previous exercises, you've tended to be focused on what's going on inside of you. As you redo some of them, or whenever you're doing any kind of body awareness or body sensing, as you come back into the world, into the outer world, as your eyes open, begin to just let your eyes do what they want to do, to look around, to orient. Because that's the basic nervous system organization that allows for interest, curiosity, and exploration. It's also the antidote for the trauma response. The nervous system cannot both be exploratory, curious, searching, looking, and be traumatized. The trauma responses cannot coexist with those responses. Also, if there's another person around, as you come out of the internal experience, you may experience an urge to contact with an individual who's in that area or in that room with you. That's, again, a natural response, because when we're not in the traumatized lockdown, our natural response is to reach out and make contact both with our natural environment and with any individual that we have a relationship with. The series of postures that are in the written portion of the integrated book CD have a series of exercises that help contain and settle the energy that's aroused in trauma, in surprise, in activity, and bring them into a quiescent, relaxed state of neutral equilibrium. The series of postures helps you to calm down after being aroused. So I suggest that you look at these pictures and practice these whenever you feel agitated or uncomfortable in some way and it doesn't seem to go away. Or you can just use those as ways of deeply settling so that you can drift into a deeper sleep, a sleep that allows you to rest, to restore, and also to give you dreams to further draw you along on your healing journey.